Well, we're there in Acts chapter number 6, and a few weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago, I preached a sermon about serving from Acts chapter 6, so I don't want you to think that we're repeating that sermon. We're not even really going to be in Acts chapter 6 that much, but I just want to show you two phrases found in Acts chapter 6 that I love. This concept is found throughout the book of Acts and different epistles, but I love how it's worded in Acts chapter number 6. If you look at verse 1, the Bible says, "And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied." Do you see that phrase? When the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Of course, when a church is growing, with growth comes problems, and they were having issues here in the church of Jerusalem. But what I want you to notice is that phrase, when the number of the disciples was multiplied. If you skip down to verse number 7 of the same chapter, Acts chapter 6 and verse number 7, the Bible says this, "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." I want you to understand, and I want you to know that in the early church, and the church in the New Testament, the church in Jerusalem, and all those churches that you read about in the book of Acts, the purpose of their church, the reason they existed, the vision for the church, and their goal was to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it was more than just reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, is to bring them to the place where they would be called disciples. And their job and their task in the book of Acts, and that those early churches of the book of Acts, was, and like I said, it's stated differently throughout the book of Acts, but I love how it's said it here in Acts chapter 6. Their job was to multiply disciples. Now, here's what you got to understand. This was just a continuation of the ministry of Christ. You're there in the book of Acts. Go with me to the book of Luke. You're there in Acts. If you go back in your Bible, you'll go past the book of John, and you'll go to Luke chapter number 19. Luke chapter number 19, look at verse number 10. Luke chapter number 19 and verse number 10. Now, here's what you got to understand. And we all know this. I know it's going to be basic for many of you and most of you. Jesus came to save. Jesus came to provide a way of salvation. He came to bring us a plan of salvation, but it's more than that. He is salvation. Salvation is not a plan. It's a person. His name is Christ. And that's what Jesus came to do. Luke chapter 19, if you look at verse 10, the Bible says this. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, very well-known verse in Scripture. The Bible says, "For the Son of Man is the Lord Jesus Christ, is come," notice, "to seek and to save that which was lost." He came, the reason he came, the purpose he came, was to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus Christ came to save souls. Jesus Christ came to bring the gospel, to bring the plan of salvation, the way of salvation, the person of salvation to believers. But here's what you got to understand. Go to Matthew chapter 4. And for those of you that have been reading 9 chapters a day, this will be something you recently read in the Bible. And here's what's interesting. And here's where Jesus maybe differs a little bit from independent fundamental Baptists. And you know, if you don't know it, you're sitting in an independent fundamental Baptist church, and I'm not ashamed of being an independent fundamental Baptist. I'm glad I'm an independent fundamental Baptist, and I plan to die an independent fundamental Baptist. But here's where Jesus and the independent fundamental Baptist movement of today maybe differs, because what we do as independent, fundamental, you know, hellfire and brimstone, soul-winning Baptists is we emphasize the idea of soul-winning. Now, don't misunderstand me. Soul-winning is important, and I'm not minimizing it. But we emphasize this idea that our job is to go out and get people saved, and our job is to go out and preach the gospel to individuals and bring them the plan of salvation. And Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. But as you read the Bible, you will find that you don't really see Christ inviting people to salvation that much. Now, I didn't say that he doesn't invite people to salvation, because he obviously does, but you don't see Christ that much simply presenting the gospel to individuals. But here's what you do see Jesus doing over and over and over and over again in the Gospels, and that is not only inviting people to be saved, but inviting them to follow him. Amen. You're there in Matthew chapter 4. Look at verse number 18. Let me just give you some examples. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 18. The Bible says this, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Look at verse 19. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and, notice, followed him. Look at verse 21. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their fathers and, notice, followed him. Go to Matthew chapter number 8. Look at verse 22. Matthew chapter number 8, verse 22. Matthew 8, 22. Just flip a few pages over. Matthew chapter 8, verse 22, the Bible says this, but Jesus said unto him, notice what he says, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Look at Matthew chapter 9, look at verse number 9. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9. Matthew 9, 9, the Bible says this, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, notice, he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Look at verse number 38. Matthew chapter 10, verse 38. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 38. Notice what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 38. The Bible says, and he that taketh not his cross, notice, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Do you see that? He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me. And we could look at different passages. You know, we could look at Mark and Luke and John and different references that would be the same stories. But what I want you to understand is this. When Jesus was ministering, when Jesus was walking around in Galilee and Judea and doing all those things, when he was reaching people, he was not simply inviting them to salvation. Now, you got to understand this. Obviously, becoming a follower of Christ would require salvation as well. But let me say this. It would require salvation at some point. Do you know that Jesus would allow people to become followers of him that weren't necessarily even saved? I mean, his disciples were constantly saying, I don't know, is this Jesus Christ? Is he the Messiah? I mean, Judas Iscariot was a follower and wasn't saved, but Jesus allowed him to tag along. And we ought not be afraid of that. You know, even in our church, we allow unsaved people to come. We'll allow unsaved people to go out soul winning with us. We'll allow unsaved people to come to the activities, and we'll let them kind of get a vision for what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, even before maybe they've made the choice to believe. But you got to understand this. Jesus, when he was ministering, did not necessarily only ask people and seek people for the purpose of salvation. He wanted more than that. He wanted them, yes, to be saved, but he wanted them to become followers of him. Go to Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter number 28. Say, Pastor Jimenez, why are you preaching about this? Because, you know, as we're beginning a new year and as we're beginning a new year of ministry, I think it's good from time to time to kind of take a moment and reset our focus. And I just want to remind you, and I want to remind myself, and I want to remind all of us the purpose of Verity Baptist Church. We exist today to accomplish one task, and it's this: to multiply disciples. We exist today to accomplish one task, and it is this: to multiply disciples. Some churches are content in having fans. Now, you got to understand this. There are many people who are fans of Christ, but there are few who are followers of Christ. There are many people who like Christ. They like the idea of Christ. They think Jesus is good. They think the Bible is good. They think going to church on a Sunday morning would be a good thing to do from time to time. And I may show up on Easter, and I may go on Christmas, or I may go on Mother's Day if my mom guilts me into it. It's good to be a fan of Jesus. He's a good guy. But there aren't many people who are followers of Jesus Christ. You need to understand something about our church. We are not satisfied at Verity Baptist Church with simply gathering a crowd. We are not satisfied here. If our goal, if our agenda was to bring the biggest crowd together that we could bring every Sunday morning, I'm telling you, we would get a rock band to start playing music that the world likes. We would stop preaching as long as we do. We just stop preaching as hard as we do. We start giving you a little sermonette instead of a sermon. We start patting you on your back and telling you, oh, you're okay. Oh, you're good. Don't worry about how you're living. God loves you. And listen to me, God does love you. But God expects us to grow and God expects us to become a follower of Christ. And the purpose of our church is to multiply disciples. And if that means that maybe the crowd isn't as big as it possibly could be, that's okay. Because our purpose, I'm just explaining to you, our vision. From time to time, people will ask, what's the vision of Verity Baptist Church? Or what's the mission statement of Verity Baptist Church? What is it that you're trying to accomplish? Here's what we're trying to accomplish, to multiply disciples. Amen. We're not necessarily trying to get a bunch of people saved. Say, Pastor, I can't believe you'd say that. Now listen to me. We want to get as many people saved as possible. But we're not necessarily here to just get a bunch of people saved. If we wanted to get a bunch of people saved, we just go travel the country and knock on random doors and present the gospel to people and leave them at the door and just move on to the next town. We are not here to get people saved. We are here to develop followers of Jesus Christ. And if that means that maybe we get less people saved, but we multiply more disciples, then that's fine by us because our goal is to multiply disciples. You understand what I'm saying? See, I'm not saying quit soul winning. You won't find anyone in this church that believes more in soul winning than I do. But our goal is not soul winning. Our goal is to create and to develop followers of Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? What does it mean to develop a disciple? Well, Jesus explained to it. I know this is basic, but it's good to be reminded of our basic truth sometimes. Matthew chapter 28, if you look at verse 19, if you're reading 9 chapters today, you read this morning. Matthew, and if you didn't read it this morning, don't get discouraged. You can read it this afternoon. You can read it tonight. Get caught up, all right? Matthew chapter 28, look at verse 19. In verse 19 and verse 20, we find what's known as the Great Commission. Now, the Great Commission is found five other times in Scripture, and we could look at all of them, but I like Matthew 28 because it seems to me to be the most descriptive and gives us the most information. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, the Bible says this, "Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations." Now that word teach there is the same idea that Mark talks about when it says preach the gospel to the entire world. And the idea there is that there is a message for all nations, for all people, and that is the message of salvation. That is what we would normally call soul winning, when we go out and try to present the gospel to people that aren't saved. And I'm all for that. We ought to continue that. And I hope that this year we'll have more soul winners at Verity Baptist Church than we've ever had, and especially than we had last year. But the Bible says here that we are to teach all nations, but notice that's just step one. See, when it comes to developing disciples, step one and the first thing we'd like to do is to have an individual come to the place of salvation. But notice, that's not it. After salvation comes what I like to call identification. Notice what the Bible says. Teach all nations, baptizing them. Now you say, well, what is the purpose of baptizing someone? The reason we baptize is to identify you with the person that just saved you. Notice, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of what? Verity Baptist Church? In the name of what? Pastor Roger? No, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. See, when you get baptized, because you understand that salvation is something that happens in your heart. When you believe on Jesus Christ, you are saved, you are born again, but we don't see that on the outside. All we see that salvation happens in the inside of you. But when you step into those waters and you are dunked underneath that water and it pictures the death of Jesus Christ and you come up out of that water and it pictures the resurrection of Christ, what you are saying publicly for the entire world to know and see is that I am a believer and I am taking my first step in becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. It identifies you. So what makes a disciple? Because see, you got to understand, being saved does not make you a disciple. Salvation is just step one. Then comes identification, baptism. Then comes this idea found in verse 20. Notice, teaching them to observe all things. That's instruction. So we have salvation, we have identification, we have instruction. When you get saved and baptized, it is then our job to begin to teach you, notice, teach you to observe all things. Everything the Bible says, it is our job to teach it to you. And here's why. Everything the Bible says is everything you will ever need for your entire life. Everything you need to know about anything is found in the Word of God. And what happens is we begin this lifelong process of becoming a follower of Jesus Christ when we begin to teach you and we begin to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So we have salvation, we have identification, and we have instruction. But it doesn't end there. Because step number four is actually step number one, because when you get to step number four, you just repeat. And notice what it says in verse number 19. Go ye, therefore. Do you see that? Now that ye, that's you. That's me. See, step four is this, reproduction. You say, I have salvation. Good. I have identification. I've been baptized. Great. I'm in the process of instruction. I'm in the process of learning the Word of God and making changes in my life. Good. But when you've done those steps, then the next step is that of reproduction. It is because, look, we don't want disciples. We want to multiply disciples. And what that means is this, that you as a disciple and me as a disciple need to go and reproduce ourselves so that we will begin to multiply disciples. So as we begin this new year, as we begin a new season of ministry, I want to remind you and I want to encourage you and I want you to get the mindset that we are here, we exist for the purpose of multiplying disciples. And by the way, everything we do around here is filtered through this thought. Everything we do around here is filtered through this idea. Everything we do at Verity Baptist Church is filtered through this question. Will this help us multiply disciples? See, there's lots of things we could do. And there's lots of things we, you know, financially could do, and we may have the manpower to do. And oftentimes people will ask me, Pastor Jimenez, you know, I used to go to church and they did this, and I used to go to church and they would do this, and every October they would have this and they would have that. And those aren't bad things, and I'm not against those things. But everything we do here is filtered through this thought. Will it help us multiply disciples? Every time we stand up and open the Word of God and we preach the Bible, every sermon that is preached from this pulpit is filtered through this thought. Will this sermon, will this truth, will this text, will this allow us, will this help us to help you further in your walk with God? Every activity. You say, why are you having a married couples banquet? Because we believe that if we can help the married couples to have stronger marriages, it will help us to multiply disciples. Every time the ladies have a Christmas party, every time we have a Mother's Day tea, every time we have a men's preaching night, every time we have a family fun night, everything we do around here is filtered through this thought. Will it help us multiply disciples? See, you come to church because you say, my marriage is falling apart, my raising my children is falling apart, my finances are falling apart, and we will help you with those things, and we will teach sermons about having good marriages and raising proper children, and we'll help you with their finances. And this fall, I'm thinking and praying about maybe doing a short series to help you with finances and help you understand what the Bible teaches about your finances. But you say, well, Pastor Jimenez, why would you want to teach us what the Bible says about finances? Is it because you want us to get rich? No, it's because I want you to have the liberty to be able to become a follower of Jesus Christ. I don't want you to be so in debt that you just have to, you know, work, you know, all week long, and you don't have time to go to church, and you don't have time to go soul winning, you don't have time to be able to follow Jesus Christ. Everything we do is filtered through this thought. Will it help us multiply disciples? Because our goal and our mission and our vision is to multiply disciples. So you say, well, what do we do? What do we do with that? Well, here's what you do with that. You take your next step. Becoming a follower of Jesus Christ is a walk. And it takes a step. And when you've taken that first step, then you take the next step. And when you've taken that second step, then you make a choice to take that third step. And you keep just taking those individual steps. And before you know it, you will look back at a life and you will say, in my life, I have followed Christ. I'm not just saved. I'm not just a believer. I am a disciple. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. So what's your next step? Maybe your step is salvation. Maybe you're here this morning. And you don't know. You say, I don't know. If I died right now, I'm not sure if I'd go to heaven. I hope I'd go to heaven. I think I'd go to heaven. I mean, I've lived a pretty good life. Let me tell you something. The Bible teaches that salvation is not dependent on how good of a person you are. There's nothing you can do to make up for the fact that we are all sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, if you were to take your life and compare it to my life, your life would probably be pretty good. And if I were the standard to get to heaven, you'd probably make it. But unfortunately for you, I'm not the standard. God is. And that's why the Bible says, for all have sinned and we come short of the glory of God. The standard for salvation is God, and we come short of it. That's why we needed a Savior. Maybe you're here, you say, well, I just thought that if I went to church, I just thought that if I lived a good life, I just thought that I was just kind of hoping that maybe I would make it to heaven. Hey, maybe you're not even saved. That's okay. We'd love to show you from the Bible how you could be 100% sure you're on your way to heaven. I'd hate for you to leave Verity Baptist Church and not know that you're on your way to heaven. Maybe that's your first step. You got to take that step. Go with me to Acts chapter number 10. Acts chapter number 10. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, well, Pastor, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I understand what salvation is. I've had you explain it to me, or I've had somebody else in the church explain it to me. Well, maybe your next step is identification. Maybe you haven't been baptized. Now, listen to me. You cannot be a follower of Christ without taking the first step. And the first step for every believer is baptism. So if you've not even taken the step of baptism, you've not even taken the first step. Now, baptism is something you do once in your life. But you ought to do it after salvation. Maybe you've never been baptized. You ought to get baptized. We'd love to baptize you at Verity Baptist Church. Let us know, and we'll give you information about that. Maybe you've been baptized, but you realize that you were not scripturally baptized. You say, I don't really know what that means. Well, we can explain it to you, but the Bible teaches that there are certain qualifications for baptism. You know, sometimes people come to me and say, Pastor, I was baptized as a baby. They sprinkled water on me. Well, I'm not trying to offend you or hurt your feelings or your mom's feelings, but that's not scriptural baptism. The Bible teaches that baptism is being, the word baptized means to be immersed or submerged underwater. The picture is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And maybe you were baptized, you know, and it was not scriptural. There's other ways or reasons that your baptism may not be scriptural. That's okay, but you ought to be baptized scripturally. Identification. It's not, and by the way, baptism is not, it's not something that God puts out there as a choice for us. Acts chapter number 10, are you there? Look at verse number 47. Acts chapter number 10 and verse number 47. Notice what the Bible says, what Peter said. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? So these individuals were saved. Notice verse 48. And he commanded them to be baptized. Do you see that? He didn't make a suggestion. He didn't say, hey, if you have time, if you're comfortable with it. He commanded. He said, hey, you need to be baptized. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of our Lord. Then prayed they to tarry certain days. Because remember this, baptism is identification. It identifies you with Jesus Christ. Do you think there would be wrong with an individual who got married and said, I know I just got married to you, honey, but I don't want to wear this wedding ring. I don't really want people to know that I'm married to you. I mean, you think that's going to go over well? But yet people say, well, I want to be saved, but I don't want to be identified with Christ. Well, why don't you want to be identified with Christ? Good night. Or speaking in tongues or something. I don't know. That's a speaker from one of the daddy rooms. Identification. You got to be baptized. And he commanded them to be baptized. Go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter 10. If you start from the back of the Bible, from the book of Revelation, you got Revelation, you got the book of Jude, you got 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, 1st and 2nd Peter, then you've got the book of James, and then you've got the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 10. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Menes, I know that I'm saved. I've been baptized. Well, maybe your next step is to take a step in being instructed or instruction. And I want to challenge you in this area. The Bible teaches that one of the reasons that we gather together is for the purpose of learning and studying God's Word together. In Hebrews chapter number 10, if you look at verse 25, the Bible says this, not forsaking the assembling. Now, that word assembling there is the same word, the congregation, or it's a church. It's a gathering of believers. And here's what the writer of Hebrews says. He says, not forsaking. And he said, here's what I don't want you to do. I don't want you to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, notice this phrase, as the manner of some is. Do you know that some people have a manner or a habit of forsaking the assembling? Some people have a custom of them, of just not being that faithful to church. And God tells us that he does not want us to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. The Bible says, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Sometimes people say to me, Pastor, do you really think that we need to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You really think we need all those services? Well, I don't know if you need all those services, but here's what I do know. It's not going to hurt anything. And the Bible tells us when it comes to assembling together, he says, hey, the closer we get to the end of the world, the closer we get to the tribulation, the closer we get to the rapture and the coming of Jesus Christ, the closer we get to the wrath of God, he said, so much the more as you see the day approaching. In 2015, we need more church, not less. In 2015, we need more Bible preaching, not less. In 2015, we need to learn the Bible more and study the Bible more and understand Scripture more, not less. And when it comes to instruction, to teaching you to observe all things, I want to encourage you to be faithful to church. Now, here's what you got to understand, okay? And I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. But some of you need to grab a calendar and track your church attendance. Because what I've noticed as a pastor for the last 4 years is that people think they go to church way more than they actually go to church. And you talk to people and they're like, oh yeah, I go to church all the time. I'm there almost every week. I miss every once in a while. And it's like, no, you come like once every 2 months, you know. But then you don't understand it because you don't see it. You ought to just grab a calendar and try to just go back over the last 3 months and say, how faithful have I been to church? And I think most of you may realize that I'm not really all that faithful to church. And if you're not faithful to church, if you're not usually here on a Sunday morning, that's okay. I just want to challenge you. I want to encourage you to take that next step. You say, I'm saved. Praise the Lord. You say, I've been baptized. Praise God. But now you need to be trained. Now you need instruction. Now you need to be under the preaching of the Word of God. And if you're not faithful on Sunday morning, I want to encourage you to be faithful on Sunday mornings. You got to make it a goal for the new year. You're already here on the first Sunday, so you're on track for your new goal. And I have a goal to be in church every Sunday in 2015. Now, look, if you're sick and you're, you know, you can't get out of bed, that's fine. I understand that. But, you know, here's a rule of thumb that I have for church attendance. Because people say, well, what if I'm sick? Here's a rule of thumb. If it would keep you from work, then that's okay. But, you know, usually it's like, you know, it won't keep you from the football game. It won't keep you from camping. It won't keep you from the picnic. But it's like, oh, I feel kind of maybe like I might just, you know, not feel well today. And it's like every other excuse is, you know, if you'd go somewhere else feeling that way, then you ought to go to church because it's not that bad. And usually we're looking for an excuse. Now, look, if you would stay home from church, if you would be, you know, if you're like, hey, if I was this sick on a Tuesday, I would just be home all day because I feel that bad. Then by all means, please stay home. We don't want you to get us sick. But if don't look for an excuse. You understand that? You ought to be faithful. Maybe you say, I'm faithful on Sunday mornings. Hey, why don't you try coming in on a Sunday night or on a Wednesday night? You say, well, I just don't know. Look, listen to me. Whatever you're doing on a Wednesday night at 7 p.m., whatever TV show you're watching is going to do less for you in the sake of eternity than spending time in the Word of God learning the Bible. Because as you study God's Word, as you learn the Bible, you will take that next step in following Jesus Christ. And people say this to me all the time. Well, I get phone calls all the time. And people say, well, I don't go to church, but here's what I do. I listen to preaching online. Okay, I just stay home, I download a sermon, I listen to preaching, and that's my church. Okay, look at Hebrews chapter 10 and look at verse number 25, because I want you to understand something that you're missing. If you think, if church is just watching a televangelist, if church is just watching preaching on the internet, now listen to me, we have our preaching on the internet, but the preaching on the internet is not meant for people to stay home and not be in church, because something you're missing when all you do is listen to preaching, but you don't actually come to a church service with the congregation. Hebrews 10:25, notice, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but notice this phrase, but exhorting one another. You know what you don't get from the televangelist? You know what you don't get from YouTube? You know what you don't get from just sitting at home and watching preaching? Is the relationships that are developed through coming to church. Is the exhorting one another? Is the getting to know people? You know that probably more to further the growth of a new Christian, more than the preaching that comes from this pulpit, is the relationships that are developed between our church family? You say, well, I just don't feel like, I just come to church and I just don't feel like I really know anybody and I just don't feel like anybody knows me and I don't feel like I'm developing a relationship. Well, look, if you show up once a month, it's going to be hard. You start showing up. You know who are the people that are the closest at Verity Baptist Church? We have people, and I know this is crazy to some of you. We actually have people in our church that come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They're crazy enough to go soul winning on Saturdays. They're just involved. They're just in. They're just disciples. They're just followers. And in our church, those people, that crowd, is probably the closest in this church. Why? Because they are constantly exhorting one another. That's not to say, well, you're not in that crowd, so you're not as good as... No, no, it's just this. If you would show up, if you would be faithful, if you would come and be consistent, if you'd come early, if you stay late, if you develop relationships, if you talk to people and pray for people, and if you actually smile and said, hey, what's your name? My name is so-and-so. Glad to meet you. Is it your first time here? Oh, you've been here for 6 months. Oh, I've just never seen you. I haven't been here for 6 months. Oh, okay. See what I'm saying? Just show up. Be faithful, because part of being a follower is not just teaching all nations and baptizing them, but it's teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. In 2015, I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. Be faithful to church. Be faithful to the church services. Learn the Bible. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now keep your finger there in Hebrews, okay? Keep your finger in Hebrews, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. You say, Pastor Jimenez, I am saved. And I go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And I'm crazy enough to go soul winning. I'm reading 9 chapters a day. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Well, here's my challenge for you. Reproduce yourself. Reproduce yourself. It's not enough to be a disciple. We have to multiply disciples. Are you there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11? You know why you're a follower of Christ? You know why you're crazy enough to do all those crazy things and just have your family think you're insane and you're in a cult and you're a fanatic and I don't understand why you got to be so involved in the things of God and why is everything got to be about God? Well, I think the Bible says to seek ye first the kingdom of God. But you say, why do we do all that? Here's why you do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, look at verse 1. Paul said this, be ye followers of me, notice, even as I also am of Christ. See, you know why you follow Christ? So that you can then turn around and look at someone else and say, hey, you follow me as I follow Christ. You follow me as I follow Christ. I'm not telling you to do what I'll be there with you. I'll be alongside with you. See, when you get to the place where you not only are saved and you are not only are baptized and you're not only learning and you're faithful and you're growing and you're getting instruction and you're learning the Bible, but when you get to the place where you are now investing into others, where now you are looking at others and saying, I'm going to bring you along with me. I'm not just going to follow Christ. I'm going to turn around and tell you to follow me as I follow Christ, and I'll show you how to follow Christ. See, the idea is to multiply disciples. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you're there in Hebrews, you just go back from Hebrews. You'll go past the book of Philemon, which is a small book. Then you'll go past the book of Titus, which is again a small book. And then you'll find 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And look at verse number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. 2 Timothy 2:2, the Bible says this, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, notice this, who shall be able to teach others also. That's why we're here. That's what we're here to do. Not just to invest in you so that we can say we invested in you and you got everything you needed, but it's so that you can then turn around and teach others also. So you can look at others and say, hey, follow me because I'm following Christ. Follow me and I'll show you how to be closer to Christ so that I can turn around and teach others also. Go back to Acts chapter 6 where we started. Acts chapter number 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter number 6. Let me ask you a question. Who are you investing yourself into? Who are you investing yourself into? What new believer, what new convert, what young person, what young mother, what person are you focusing on? You say, I don't have someone. Then I want to challenge you. Pick someone. Choose someone. Find someone. You say, I don't know who to invest into. If you come out soul winning with us and start knocking on random doors of individuals and start asking them, hey, do you need help? Can I help you? Do you know if you died today, would you go to heaven? I promise you, eventually you will find someone who will say, I'd like to follow Christ. And then you can say to that individual, well, follow me as I follow Christ. And I can teach you also. And you can pray for that person. You can invest that person. Let me ask you, who are you investing yourself into? See, it's not enough. It's not enough for you to go to church. It's not enough for you to get right. It's not enough for you to grow. It's not enough for you to do everything that you've done. We then have to, because all that would produce is disciples. But our goal is to multiply disciples. So as we begin this new year of ministry, it's good to reset our focus. You need to understand this. We exist to create and multiply followers of Jesus Christ. And by the way, you exist. And I don't know if you understand this. The only reason that after your salvation, God did not just rapture you to heaven, the only reason you are left on this earth is to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's it. You say, well, God, I have this business and I have this career. And God, look, the only reason that God allows you to have a career and make money is so that you can make money to take care of yourself financially so that you can go and reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only reason you're married is so that you can produce children, that you can then take those children and teach them to become followers of Jesus Christ. The only reason that we exist on this earth is to multiply disciples. That's why Christ came and that's why Christ left us, to seek and to save that which was lost. That's it. We exist to create and multiply disciples. Every goal of our church has, we have all sorts of goals this year. We have an attendance goal, we have a financial goal, we have baptism goals, we have soul winning goals. Our church has all sorts of goals this year, but you know what? All our goals are wrapped around this idea, to multiply disciples. Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, let's just read it again. I love this verse. And the word of God increased. By the way, we need more of the Bible, not less. So, well, if the preaching was just 15 minutes long and there was a concert for an hour and a half, I think you'd attract a bigger crowd. We might attract a bigger crowd, but we're not looking for fans, remember? We're looking for followers. But the word of God increased, notice, and the number of the disciples multiplied in, wouldn't it be great if it said Natomas, Sacramento, California, in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priest was obedient to the faith. I just want you to understand, and I just, as we begin this year, I want to set the right mindset and help you understand. The reason Verity Baptist Church exists is to multiply disciples. Now, that you may not be looking for that, and that's okay. There are other churches that can help you. If you want entertainment, there are churches that can entertain you. If you just want, you know, someone to pay your PG&E bill, we'll pay it once, but don't come back again, all right? You know, and we'll if you're looking for something, look, there's other churches that can provide other needs. But here's what we're here to do, and I just want to be honest with you, and I want you to understand this. There's an agenda behind everything, and it's this: to help you become a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. That's why we exist. And we hope that you'll catch the vision and you'll get on board and you'll help us multiply disciples. Let's bow our heads.